I'll just take you from Daddy's step. Praise for Greater Glory, part 4. Hallelujah. Is the theme and is the topic tonight. Great for Greater Glory, part 4. We'll look at that scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 18. Say, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all with an open face. There's something like going from glory to glory. There is something like going from level to level. There is something like going from height to height. There is something like moving from where you are now to the next phase. That's going from glory to glory. And like we've heard again and again since the inception of this program, one major key that would do that is praise, isn't it? Okay, but before I go into that, the glory that he had told us, of course, the summary of the glory of God is the goodness of God. The goodness of God. And in God, there is no evil. Everything in him is good. Moses was asking God for the glory. But of God, what God told him is, I will make my goodness pass. Which means the glory is what? It's his goodness. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, but there could be different connotation to that word glory also. Now, first and foremost, if you look at Exodus chapter 40, verse 33 and 34. In 33, the Bible tells us that Moses finished the tabernacle. He reared up the altar. He finished. Then in verse 34, the Bible speaking, he said, and a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's glory is coming to fill somebody's life tonight. In the name of Jesus. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So one way to look at that glory is divine ownership. Divine ownership. For Moses to finish building that tabernacle, rearing up the altar and everything, and God comes in his glory. God is saying, this is mine. You know, he comes to let the world know that this is his. Hallelujah. I'd like you to know that this is God's. Both you and the project itself are all God's. Because his glory is here. Hallelujah. Secondly, still looking at that scriptures, another way to look at glory is divine identity. Divine identity. You see, God comes to identify with what is happening. That's why he came in his glory. The glory filled the tabernacle. He came to identify. You know where I'm going to tonight? When God wants to identify or show the world that he is prosperous, he does it through us. If he wants to show the world that he is holy and righteous, he does this through us. He reveals his identity through us. Nobody has seen God before. But if you have seen me, you have seen him. Hallelujah. If you have seen somebody who is practicing Christianity, you have seen God. That's why that scriptures we said, but we all with an open face, you know, beholding his glory, we are changed into the same image. That is, we are like him. We are him. Hallelujah. Divine identity. Another way to look at that scriptures is divine approval. I mean, to look at the word glory. Divine approval. After Moses finished and then God stepped in, he filled the tabernacle with his glory. He's approving of it. You know, like Jesus being announced at Jordan, Matthew 3, 16 and 17. You know, the Bible said the heavens opened and then a voice said, this is my beloved son. God himself approving of God. So when God steps in his glory, he's approving of something. Hallelujah. Somebody is living here tonight with that mark of approval. His glory shall be radiant all over you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Another way to look at that word glory is divine distinction. Divine distinction. Isaiah 60 verse 1, he said, arise, shine, for the glory is risen upon you. Divine distinction. The next verse we now said, though darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. That is, inside that darkness, you are distinct. You are set apart. Hallelujah. Divine distinction. The glory stands for divine distinction. Okay? Another way to look at that word glory is divine preservation. Divine exemption and preservation. when the glory of God is on you, that scripture's Isaiah 60 verse 2. It said, darkness cover the earth and gross darkness the people. It said, but his glory shall arise upon you. But he shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon you. So you are exempted. You know, he comes with his glory to put a mark of exemption on your life. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Okay, that being said, what's the key to glory? What is the way to glory? Daddy, I've dealt so much on that yesterday. Don't stop pressing, isn't it? Somebody shout glory. You were here yesterday. Please give me a wave. Okay. Don't stop pressing. That's what Daddy told us, isn't it? Next, he said, don't stop growing in the Lord. Don't stop growing. Just keep growing. And then stay more with God in praise. Hallelujah. I will just continue that list. Key or ways into glory. Now, the first thing I'll talk about here is the way of prayer. The way of prayer. Jabez typifies this so much in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Very popular scriptures. In verse 10, the Bible speaking said, and Jabez cried unto the God of Israel, saying, that thou mayest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And all of that. Towards the end of it, the Bible says, and the Lord granted his request. God attended to what Jabez was saying. You see, Jabez's situation was so turned around that Jabez became a city. If you read that same 1 Chronicles chapter 2 in verse 55, you see the A part of it, the Bible speaking said, and the families of the scribes that dwelled at Jabez. Jabez became a city. I wanted to be sure whether I saw very well. I said checking up commentary and I saw a commentary. It said that city Jabez was supposedly built by the Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9 and 10. You see how that man's situation turned around? He founded a city. Hallelujah. The way of prayer. Secondly, the way to glory is the way of reaction. The way of reaction. In verse 9 of that 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the Bible speaking, it said, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. But because his mother bare him with sorrow, she named him Jabez. If you ask me, Jabez found out his true identity. So I am more honorable than my brethren. Then, what is wrong with me? Why am I where I am? Why is the things happening to me? And then he reacted. Part of that reaction is what we saw in his prayer. You know, that prayer he prayed was a way of expressing his reaction. But you know what? I believe the Bible is silent about so many things because it didn't end at praying alone. I believe Jabez reacted and told himself, I'm going back to school. I'm sure he reacted and told himself, I will invest in personal development. I'm sure he reacted and said, no, I will change my company of friends. I'm sure he reacted and said, hey, I will change my environment. So much, the Bible is silent because it didn't end at prayer. If it is prayer, so many people will not be where they are now. Do you agree with me? Hallelujah. So as you react in the place of prayer, remember to follow it up with other steps. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way of reaction. Now, you know what? Jabez reacted so much that he broke what you and I would today term foundation without needing a pastor or a prophet. That scripture never told us that Jabez now consulted with his pastor or with a prophet. You know, many of us today, every man of God in town, you are there. Every prophet, you are there. Hallelujah. Jabez broke foundation without needing a pastor or a prophet. He didn't do it. He just reacted and then went to God in a place of prayer. And then we saw the result. He became a city. Can I tell you the truth? What so many of us need today is really not deliverance from foundation, but rather deliverance from mind bondage. That's what we need. It's not deliverance from foundation, supposedly. Look at, I'll take a cue from scriptures. In Exodus, before the children of Israel left Egypt, the Bible told us that God didn't only execute judgment on the firstborn of the Egyptians, he executed judgment on the gods of Egypt. You see that in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 12. God executed judgment on the gods of Egypt. That is that. And then, away, they move out of Egypt, isn't it? They go to the Red Sea. Pharaoh pursued, God ensured that Pharaoh and all his hosts were drawn in the sea, isn't it? Now the children of Israel pass over, they cross. But you know what? Pharaoh was no longer after them, yet they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So what is the problem? You know, what we will call foundation today. God had executed judgment on the gods of your father's house. Why are you still where you are? Why are things still happening the way they're happening? Your father's gods are no longer after you, but you are still there. Mind deliverance. The problem is not deliverance from foundation. Can I even tell you the truth? I have more scriptures to back up the fact that when a man had become a Christian, all things are passed away, all things have become new. I am struggling to believe this ideology that even as a Christian, you need deliverance. I am struggling with that ideology. I'm struggling with it seriously. It doesn't exist anywhere. I have more scriptures to back it up this way than to back it up the other way around. Hallelujah. And you know what? As I'm speaking now, deliverance is taking place. Look at that scriptures in Luke chapter 4. When Jesus returned from Jordan in verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord God was upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And then he added, he said, "To preach deliverance to the captive." Deliverance is preach. Unlike the way we think that deliverance is to be conducted. That you just expose yourself to anointed materials, preaching and books, and then deliverance will take place. In fact, can I tell you the truth? That conducting of deliverance is highly insufficient to do what God wants to do in your life. Because the Bible says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And renewing of mind is not what can happen in a conduction of deliverance. No, it cannot happen. It will happen over time because you will need to learn, unlearn, and relearn. You will need to eject some of those things that have been put inside you and put new ones, shaping the mind alongside God's word. That's deliverance. Hallelujah. Somebody shout glory. Okay, that's a way of reaction, isn't it? Another key to or way to glory is wisdom. Wisdom. Hallelujah. I've spoken with Daddy at length about how this project come to where it is today. Do you know that it wasn't money that delivered this project? Aside God, Daddy will tell you, is wisdom. Wisdom. See, foolishness is what is holding a lot of people back from entering their glory. Foolishness. The prodigal son, typical example, Luke 16. Do you know what the prodigal son did by asking his father for his portion of inheritance is correct? I have sat under preachers and they'll say, as if the guy is praying for his father to die. Hear this. If you look at the context of that scripture, the father is not illustrative of a biological father who needs to die before the son enters his inheritance. It's illustrative of our heavenly father. And then the prodigal son, illustrative of us, not in a prodigal state anyway. Hallelujah. So you will need to take your portion of inheritance. You are waiting for God to die. You will wait a lifetime. He will never die. Enter your inheritance. Just arise. Enter your inheritance. The prodigal son was correct. But you know the problem he had? Foolishness. He squandered everything overnight and returned to zero level. In fact, he returned to minus. And, you know, at zero level, you still see something chop. At minus, you now be eating with pig. Remnant of pig. You have entered minus. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Okay, but look at, on the other hand, even Jesus recognized the glory on the life, the wisdom or the glory on the life of Solomon. Let me put it that way. Matthew 6 in verse 29, the Bible speaking, it said, even Solomon, that's Jesus now, in all his glory is not arrayed like one of this. Even Solomon in all his glory. Now, where did the glory come from? Impartation of wisdom that happened for Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. When he became king, God asked him, "Oh yeah, what do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Just give me wisdom. Just give." Even God was surprised. "You mean you didn't ask for money? You mean you didn't ask for the life of your enemy? Wow!" And then God told him, "Aside the wisdom, these other things that you didn't ask, I will add them to your life." So that splendor you see around glory, it's a package that was delivered by wisdom. Wisdom. Simple wisdom. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Look at where I'm going to tonight. One more key that releases us into our glory is the key of praise. Hallelujah. The key of praise. One man that typifies this so much is David. Look at the splendor around the life of David. You know, it's not far-fetched. He said in Psalm 34 in verse 1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That is, I will spend my lifetime praising him. You know, one particular scripture will say 3 days. I mean, 3 times a day will I praise you. That's David. And then that delivered the splendor around his life. Hallelujah. How does praise culminate into glory? Let's search very quickly. How praise will result into glory. Number one, praise undergirds our life and existence upon the earth. Praise undergirds our life and existence on earth. You know where I'm going to? The beauty of life and the glory of existence is delivered on the platform of praise. The beauty of life and the glory of existence on the earth is delivered on the platform of praise. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18 and 19. You know, this Isaiah 38, 18 and 19 is a statement credited to King Hezekiah after God added more years to his life, isn't it? He said, the grave cannot celebrate you. The dead cannot praise you. He said, in verse 19, he said, the living, he shall praise you, the living. If you ask me, I will say, what God saw and added to Hezekiah's life was the fact that he was going to praise God. Because by reason of this scripture, you know what Hezekiah was telling God? If you have let me die, you would have successfully removed one of the persons who will praise you. You have reduced the number of persons to bring you praise. And God is looking for praisers. And then, Hezekiah is telling God, if you have let me die, you see now, nobody would have been giving you this praise. Hallelujah. You know where I'm going to? The tenancy we pay for renewal of our residency on the earth is praise. The tenancy we pay for renewal of our residency on earth is praise. That's why it undergirds our life and existence on earth. Hallelujah. That's one. How does praise culminate into glory? Secondly, praise is key to release of potential. Praise is trigger to the release of potential. With praise, you can be fulfilled. With praise, you can have your potentials released to the optimum, to the maximum of it. Hallelujah. Now, how did I know? Take anything God created out of its original habitat. They may not die immediately, but of course, they won't function well. Remove fish out of water. It's not likely to die immediately, isn't it? But of course, it will not function well. Three of us. You know why? When God was going to make fish, he spoke to water. Take plant out of the earth. They will not die immediately, but they won't function appropriately. Why? When God was going to make plant, he spoke to the earth, isn't it? Now, when God was going to make man, what did he speak to? He spoke to himself, isn't it? Okay. You know what that means? Outside of God, man is empty. Man is nothing. Are you there? That's because he spoke to himself to create man. That is, man will function in the climate of his presence. And the climate of praise is the climate of his presence. You will function the best in the presence of God. Now, look at again the life of David. Because of his lifestyle of praise, he is one man that was everything. He was a king, therefore a high-ranking politician. You agree with me? He was an instrumentalist. He was a musician. He was an inventor. He's an author. He's a husband. He's a father. Name it. One man. Because of the life of praise, everything inside of him came out before he left this earth. No wonder, Acts 13:36, the Bible says, and David, after he has served his own generation, what happened? He passed on. He served his generation. That is, he died empty. Everything inside him came out because of the life of praise. So praise is a trigger to the release of potential. Hallelujah. Now look at thirdly, how does praise culminate into glory? Just like the second one, praise is doorway to fulfillment of destiny or fulfillment of potential. Of course, when potential is released, The next thing is fulfillment. Hallelujah. So praise is doorway to purpose fulfillment, if you like. Put it that way. Praise is doorway to purpose fulfillment. Isaiah 43 in verse 21, the Bible speaking said, "These people have I formed for myself. They shall shew forth my praise." And then 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9, the Bible speaking, it said, "Yea, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye might show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see that? So essentially, man was created to praise God. You know what? Man was created to replace Lucifer, that became the devil. Why? Lucifer disappointed God in the place of praise and worship. That thing Lucifer did, we call it pride, isn't it? But of course, an interpretation to it is, he got to a point, "I will no longer praise this man. Who is he, self? Why should I be giving him my praise?" I know the way he was wired, everything inside of him, every move he make has a sound unique that brings God praise. And then the guy disappointed God. God now creates us to take that place. You know what? That's why if you fulfill your primary reason for creation, which is praise, the secondary necessarily will be fulfilled. That is any other thing. Maybe to become a pastor, to become an engineer, to become whatever. There are secondary purpose for our creation. Our primary purpose is to bring him praise. I saw that from scriptures. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. The Bible speaking said, "And there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menem, that was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Verse 2, the Bible says, "As these people ministered to the Lord and fasted," what follows? "The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." As they minister to the Lord, that is in the place of praise and worship, ministering to the Lord. And then a secondary call came for Barnabas and Paul. If you fulfill your primary assignment, certainly you fulfill a secondary assignment. Are you there? And if you look at the book of Acts critically, do you know it has two broad classifications? Acts chapter 1 to verse 14, the focus was at the church in Jerusalem with Peter as the central figure. From chapter 14 to the end, the focus was the church at Antioch with Paul as central figure. Where did it start from? "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." You see that? Fulfillment of secondary assignment, because the primary one was fulfilled. How does praise culminate into glory? Number 4, praise keeps us in his presence. Praise keeps us in his presence. That scripture again, "These people have I formed for myself. They shall shew forth my glory." These people, that's Isaiah 43:21. "These people have I formed for myself. They shall shew forth his glory." Praise keeps us in his presence. Okay, let's begin this way. Now, Psalm 22 in verse 3, "Say that holy, said that inhabited the praises of his people. Thou art holy that inhabitest the praises of his people." And in his presence, anything is possible. Psalm 16 verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy." He said, "And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." In his presence, anything is possible. So praise keeps us in his presence. It keeps us there. For example, after Jehoshaphat and Israel, and Judah, provoke the presence of God through praise, what happened? God steps in and destroys their enemy. He steps in verse 24 and 25 of that Second Chronicles 20. In verse 24, the Bible says, "When Judah walked towards the watchtower in the wilderness and looked unto the people, they were all dead bodies falling to the earth. None escaped." And then verse 25, look at what happened. The Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat and his people, they saw with these people in abundance, both riches with the dead body and precious jewels, which they strip up for themselves, too much to carry. And then they were 3 days in gathering the spoil." Anything is possible. Praise keeps us in his presence. And in his presence, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Tonight, as you praise him, God will show up for you in the name of Jesus. Somebody that believes, shout amen. Lastly, praise drives away or put far away
our enemies or evil spirits, spirits that are not of God. Praise, puts them far away from us.
How did I know?
1 Samuel chapter 16 in verse 23.
1 Samuel 16 in verse 23.
That scripture, before then, the Bible tells us of an evil spirit from the Lord. That's how the Bible puts it. An evil spirit from God. That is an evil spirit that have the permission of God was tormenting Saul. And then they gave Saul a solution. Let's look for somebody that can play harp very well. A musician, isn't it? And then they sought for one, they found David. And then the Bible says, as David will be playing that instrument, what happened? The evil spirit, the praise suffocates them. Praise, it chokes them. They can't stay around. That is the same evil spirit that have the permission of God to operate. But as praise comes, on their own, they just check back to hell. Somebody shout glory!